Training camp with the Heat today.
Yeah, felt good.
We say that.
I don't. There may be a few behind the iron curtain there that do, but I'm okay.
I think we saw a couple guys walk off. I have no idea if anything was wrong, but Bowers and I think it was Mark Maron. Is anything going on there?
Just the Heat. Okay. We got a little stomach bug going through the team, and I'm not sure they have it or don't have it, but you know, you compile that with the Heat, and it can be a little bit troubling.
A little bit different format than maybe what you've done through OTAs and even yesterday. Could you kind of tell us what kind of you were looking to do today, more situational, more hands-on teaching? What was the format today and trying to accomplish?
Yeah, it was more what we call play-its, where it's playing the game. And what we did is we just broke it into situations but played the game. So some of it was just run the field. Other was just third down, just red area, two-minute. But more, you know, not team periods with guys behind it, everybody off the field. Coordinators calling the plays, and we still did our teach periods in between it, but you know, just get a feel for that.
Jonathan Banks catching up.
He's doing well. Yeah, I mean, he's made steady progress, which he's going to have to continue to make, you know, all training camp to be able to do what we want him to do, but he's doing it, so that's good.
Greg, offensively, there were some botched snaps, some drop passes. What did you see out there today?
Yeah, there was. I mean, we got 90 guys, right? So, actually, a little more than 90. And you got all different mixes. You know, the one that, you know, we cannot do is, you know, we cannot put the ball on the ground. You're going to drop some passes, especially with all the guys we have. But we cannot put the ball on the ground at handoffs and that kind of stuff. That's unacceptable. So, that's the only thing I really was concerned with today, the one time we did that.
Tiki Barber had the ball, you know, the fumbling problem, and Tom Coughlin supposedly saw that. How do you solve putting the ball on the ground? Like, how do you make guys hold on to the ball?
Well, that's a huge emphasis around here, programmatically. And, you know, we think we did last year a really good job of improving. We went from, I think, last in the league to fifth in turnover margin, whatever it is, something like that. We need to get to be number one. The ball is the most important thing, and it needs to be treated that way. So I think you see our guys – they treat the ball with respect all the time, and that's something that we just harp on all the time. And there's techniques and things, obviously, that I don't want to get into that's technical, but it's more of a mindset as an organization.
Speaking of mindset, one more day at minicamp when everybody disappears and then they get ready for training camp, what's the mindset you want them to leave with and come back with while they're away thinking about it?
I think we worked very hard. The guys did a good job in this period, and this was all in an attempt to get ready for training camp. Now, every guy gets himself prepared differently. Every guy is different, but they need to do it. If you're an established pro, you know what you need to do to get ready, and now you've been through one of our training camps, so you know what you need to do to get through what our training camp's going to be like. The rookies, they don't know what to expect, so I hope that the veterans will explain to them how it's going to be. Gabe, you know, coming down. All of a sudden, he gets thrust into the 90-something degree heat. You know, I'm sure you know his buddies in the locker room told him, "Oh, this is nothing compared to August, right?" So, everybody's got to get themselves ready to deal, because one of the things different here than a lot of places, you got to deal with these elements, and you got to be able to get ready to play and win. And then, you know, this is no excuse. We don't want to hear about it.
Brian Leonard and maybe your history with him and how he represents an upgrade versus what you had last year.
Well, I don't know anything about upgrade to not upgrade. You know, we felt Brian can help us win, and that's why we brought him here. But Brian Leonard's a winner. You know, I have a history with him since he was 16 years old, and we've been through a lot together. This guy he's an unselfish guy who will show up big when we need him. So I hope that he hasn't changed.
Do you have a reporting date, Greg, and what are the NFL rules about how early you could make that reporting?
Yeah, the NFL rules, you count back 15 days from your first preseason game, so we take advantage of all that time, obviously. Rookies, you can bring in July 5th if you wanted to. That's the date. We're not going to do that. I mean, I don't even know if they'll be gone by July 5th, but we'll give them a break. Everybody needs to take a break, and then we'll bring them in. I think they come in the 18th, and then the guys come in. I think the veterans are the 24th or so. Yeah, right around there.
Coach, what's the biggest, I guess, effect you've seen – that Vincent Jackson's had on Mike Williams?
Well, I think Vincent's had a big effect on our entire organization, not just Mike, but that the fact that he and Mike are in that meeting room every day together, out on the practice field together, it's great for Mike to have an established pro, a real pro in the room with him. And I see the changes in Mike over the last year, you know, Mike becoming such a more seasoned pro. And Mike always had the passion for the game, way back from when I knew him when he was at Syracuse. I mean, this kid loves to play football. But all the little things about being a pro, I think Vincent's brought that into the room, and certainly for Mike and for all those guys.
Were you guys trying to look at some different players today? It seemed like you had some different combinations in some of your units in terms of the lineups and that kind of thing. Was that just, you know,
kind of more, you know, a couple guys had the bug, a couple guys were hot. We kind of just, you know, rolled them through there. We ran a lot of plays today as well, so that might be because I didn't notice it, but I'm sure it was a little different.
Great. Do you have an update on Carl Nix and Davin Joseph and where they're at with their rehab?
Yeah, they're coming along. Yeah, we're not going to rush them at this time of year, especially guys that, you know, missed so much time last year. We just want to make sure that these guys are ready to go. So, but they're doing well.
Coach, where do you feel the tight end position is at right now with Stocker, Crabtree, and Bynum? How have they worked together this offseason so far?
Well, I think the position as a whole, they're working their tails off. And they have, not only in this phase 1, 2, and 3 training, but before. I think all of them are guys that take care of their bodies and work hard at it. So, you know, certainly we need to have production out of that position, both in the run and pass game. So we need them to come up big. And, you know, we have faith, went out and got Crabtree, and I think he's really been a good addition. Bynum is more healthy than he was at any time last year, and I think you can see a little more pop in his step. And then some of the young guys are doing a good job that we need to keep an eye on them. So there'll be competition at the spot, which is good.
Given the personnel at that position, do you think a lot of two tight end lineups is a possibility for you there?
Just always a possibility, yep. You can do a lot of things out of two
like
tight end sets.
The strength of some of those guys, too.
Yeah, and when you can get into a lot of different formations with two tight ends. It gives you a lot of flexibility. Everything from heavied up to spread out. And if you have guys that can do all that, that gives you an advantage on the defense.
Are you starting to think, Greg, that Golston could be a factor on the pass rush as a rookie?
I'm not ready to say that yet. You know, I think he's a good player. We got to see where he fits. We're going to have plenty of, you know, we haven't done any live pass rush. You're not allowed to. So I got to see him do it against NFL linemen before I can make a determination. I do like his attitude. I like the energy he brings to practice every day. So if he can just take that step when we put the pads on, he's going to have a chance.
He's got the body, though, right?
He sure does have the body, yep. Long and pretty good get-off.
Over the course of these practice sessions, has there been one area that has really improved? Is there a part of an aspect of this team that gives you more confidence now heading into this slight break?
Well, I'm kind of upbeat about all the positions. I don't think there's one that's just jumped out at me. You know, we've had an addition of new guys, yet we haven't been able to get all the new guys into everything. So, you know, to have Deshaun Golson back there in the secondary, that's been fun. You have a new guy, new ideas, thoughts. But he's learning our system. So, you know, I think with the mix of new and old and guys that are rehabbing and not out there yet, I've been generally encouraged with our depth performing better. Definitely a better understanding of what we're asking them to do, and I can't wait to get them all back out there when you get all your players out there in camp and see what that looks like.
Do you like this team being a little bit under the radar, Greg, the national radar? Not a lot of people in a tough division are picking the Bucks to win the NFC South. Is that kind of the way you'd like it?
Yeah, that's why you play them, you know. We'll go out and play. God willing, we'll show up for all 16, see what happens.
But, I mean, you understand the depth of the division.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're part of that, though, right? We're one quarter of it, so we'll see. I love it. You guys can't think of any more.